Of course, we are here to support the sport, to promote the sport, and at the same time, and all the time, we are ambassador. We always try to visit schools, try to get the kids, encourage the kids to do sport, and then to try to get them involved in track and field. And at the same time, for us, it's a way to stay on the sport and to see what the future generation are doing. And like today, I'm here, and I'm looking forward to see what's going to happen in the 60 meters and the 400 meters and everything. And we just love the sport, and it's a gift. I mean, actually, from the IAAF.
Well, let's focus on your career at the moment. You've stood on every global podium there is to stand on in your event, either as an individual or as part of a 4x1 team. Yeah. Your first global success came at the 93 World Indoor Championships, your home country in Toronto. Yeah. What are your memories of that first 60-meter World Indoor Championship goal?
Man, every time I watch this race again today, that it gave me a goosebump. I mean, that was my in '92. I was one of the best sprinter in the world, and I was the only one who didn't have a title. So '93 came. I saw the opportunity to win the gold medal. Of course, that it was a lot of pressure, but having won the World Indoor Championship, my first world title, listening the national anthem, seeing the Canadian flag raise, and I mean that was great memories. That's something that I would never forget in my life. Yeah.
Just elaborate on that for us, because we often hear in sports about home field advantage, but the flip side is there's a lot of pressure. You're the poster boy. You're the one that's in the spotlight. Ticket sales are often dependent on you. So how did you regard that 93 championships at home? Was it inspirational or intimidating? Was it a blessing or a burden? How do you regard it?
It was all that together. Of course, that I was one of the favorite, and at the same time, it was a lot of pressure, because I mean the fan was there, all the media was there, and everybody was saying that okay, yeah, Bruni is gonna win the gold medal, and my dad was there, and I was like, oh my God, I need to win this. But at the same time, yes, it was a kind of advantage, and at the same time, I mean, to me, I said it was a disadvantage too, because I mean the pressure I had that time was incredible, you know. But I kept my calm. Fortunately, also I was working with a sports psychologist who helped me focus on myself. Don't focus on the media, the what people expect from me, and we achieved it. We did it.
There's a school of thought in sports that it's often easier to become a champion for the first time than it is to successfully retain and defend a title. You did that when you went to Barcelona 2 years later and became a two-time world indoor champion over the 60 meters. Mm-hmm. So how much did that truism hold true for you? How did winning it the first time compare to defending it and winning it for a second time when you're the champion, you're the guy with the target on your back? How did the two accomplishments compare?
Mm-hmm. Funny thing is the second time, okay, yes, there was pressure, because yes, I had the performance, and I was one of the favorite. But I would say, and from my part, the second time was easiest than the first one, because I knew what it felt. And I knew that I belong there. I knew that I could win the race. And after that, I was like, okay, well, I did it. I know I can. 95 came, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I have good potential to win it. Let's focus and win it. And I did. But I think the difference between the two, 93 was much harder, much harder.
That first global indoor success set you up for a terrific career across the sport. You got two silver medals outdoors, 4x1 gold in the World Championships and the Olympic Games. How important was the World Championships in your career as that catalyst to boost you on to all the global success you enjoyed?
Indoor, you're talking about? Yes, I mean, the thing is, I really, really needed that, because inside, it was bothering me before the title, because I was seeing like guys like, okay, at the time, Frankie Fredericks, Linford Christie, all those guys, they had medals, And I didn't have medals. I was finalist in all the big competition, but with no medals. And I was like, okay, yeah, people say that I'm one of the top, but I'm the only one who didn't have the medal. So after that, I mean, to me, it was, okay, it's no limit now. Okay, I'm the world champ. Now I know that I belong with those guys. Now from that day, it's like, okay, there's no non-stop. I said to myself, I can win against this guy respectfully, and no limit. Let's go. Olympic world championship. Let's go. And soon after that, I mean, 95 after my world indoor, I mean, came outdoor where I was a silver medalist, and career just took off right there.
How do the two disciplines compare? Obviously one shorter, 40 meters shorter, mm-hmm. so suggests it would favor the more compact sprinter. But what about competing indoors as opposed to competing outdoors? Yeah. How do the two disciplines compare?
It's very different, very, very different. I remember even after that I won 93, people were saying that I was a indoor runner because I always had very good reaction time. I had very good start. The first 10, 20, 30 meters, I was always ahead. Even after that, I won my first world indoor title, came out the season, and every 100 meter race, the first 30, 40 meters, I was always ahead. But after that, I faded. I didn't know how to run the 100 meters. I mean, to me, it was, okay, from the start, just run as fast as you can. That's it. So I've done a lot of research. I've talked to a lot of coaches here and there. I went to university, to the library, listening about, reading about biomechanics and everything. I didn't find my answers. And with all the respect, with all the coaches I was working with before and everything, and in 1998, I went to Texas, Austin, working with Coach Dan Paff. My first sprint workout, he stopped me and told me that I'm running very bad. And I'm like, what do you mean? So that was the time he taught me how to run properly, biomechanically, the 100 meters. And once I know it took me, I would say, a good 2 weeks of adjustment. And Coach Paff told me that time my best was 997, and I had my Canadian championship like a month, 5 weeks after that. He told me, if I run like this, I would run 989 at my Canadian championship. At first, I didn't believe it. And 5 weeks after that, that was the first time I ran 998. And in my mind, I'm like, why I didn't know that when I was like 22 years old? But it's all right. I mean, running the 60 and running the 100 meters is two different ball games. I mean, of course, now the new generation, I mean, everybody knows this new technique and everything, but it took me years before knowing how to run properly.
Does it automatically follow that a good 100 meter runner outdoors, if they focused on it, would be a good 60 meter runner? What's your assessment of whether a dominant sprinter outdoors over the one would be good if they chose to focus on the 60 meters?
The thing about the 60 and the running the indoor season and the outdoor season the same year is, of course, that if you want to perform very, very well in the 60 meters, you're gonna do less speed endurance between that period, and of course that it can jeopardize a little bit in your outdoor season. So that's why a lot of sprinters, like the top sprinters, sometimes they don't want to do the indoor season because they want to be like in very, very top shape in the outdoor season. That was a big difference for me, and I think that's why Usain Bolt doesn't run indoor, because I said it before, and I think that if he would focus one season and the indoor season, he would break the record. I'm sure about that 100%. But he doesn't want, I guess. I don't know, but he could break the world record. Yeah.
So of the athletes who are here competing in Sopot, James Dasaolu unfortunately can't mm-hmm. compete, nor can Jimmy Vico, the yeah. French athlete, he can't compete either. Of the athletes who are here, who do you regard as the main gold medal favorite or the medal contenders in the 60 meters?
Of course that you have the two Americans, but I see also Nesta Carter. Like he's not the favorite, but he also have a good reaction time. He has a good start, but his experience can give him an edge. So I wouldn't put him very far behind. I wouldn't be surprised also if he if he comes here and win the race.
And having experienced success at a Home World Indoor Championships, what advice would you pass on to the Polish athletes, particularly Anna Rogowska, who's from this very town? Mm-hmm. What advice would you pass on to them about how to deal with that increased spotlight that comes with competing at home?
One thing I would tell them is like, think about yourself, only yourself. Think about your lane. That's it, period. Don't think about, okay, yeah, it's my home crowd. I mean, I'm going to have my dad here and there, the media. It's going to be too much pressure. Just think about your lane, your finish line, and have fun.